We're going to look at what I've been promising for the last two or three days. We'll get there in the end. We're going to look at angels and the angelic realm. Later on, when we come do some activation, I'll share what I encountered this morning with wisdom, or this afternoon with wisdom, and that is something that I think will outwork later. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So in a sense, the seen is the physical realm. And, you know, my eyes are fixed on that. I can see that right now. There is an unseen spiritual realm around us, which, you know, I can look into, and we're definitely going to be looking into later to see all your personal angels and the different angels that are here. And I was talking earlier to Jean about the angels I saw yesterday at Word of Love, and you know, they were worshiping, heralding angels with instruments, and he told me that he prays every time before everything starts for the worshiping angels to come. And let me tell you, they're there. So, you know, but there also is the eternal heavenly realms. You know, that's the real realm. You know, and angelic spiritual beings occupy all of those realms, including the physical. You know, because we are called to be careful that we are hospitable, because you never know, you might be entertaining angels unawares. So if you're entertaining angels unawares, they're unlikely to be 7'6" with big white wings. So they may appear very normal as people, but they're looking for hospitality from us, their hearts to be open. So be aware. So angels and other spiritual beings are really part of that unseen realm. You know, we can't always see them unless they make themselves known with our natural eyes. But our spiritual eyes can tune into that when we train it. And we certainly can engage that with the eyes of our heart many times. Now, angels engage lots of people right throughout the Bible. You know, we see that with Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Joshua, Gideon, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. And all, you know, you find it all over. But even in the New Testament, we see Mary and Joseph and Jesus and Peter and Paul and John and many of the disciples had engagement with angels. And it wasn't anything but a normal type of thing. I mean, I always like the story of when the angels got Peter out of the prison, and Peter comes and knocks on the door, and, you know, the girl who sort of answers the door is like, "It must be Peter's angel." So Peter's angel may have looked something like him, apparently, sometimes. You know, and you hear stories where people have been late to meetings. You know, I can't remember the guy, but I remember the testimony that he was on the way to do a big conference meeting. He got held up, eventually managed to phone ahead and apologize that he was going to be late. And the answer was, "Well, you're here speaking." I bet that was a really good sermon. Now, Job 38:4 says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" It's God talking to Job. Job wasn't there. But when the morning stars sang — now the morning stars are referring to angels. Actually, stars don't sing, although they do issue a sound, a frequency, vibration. "All the sons of God shouted for joy." So the angelic beings were present when the foundations of the earth were laid, and they rejoiced. God created the spiritual realm and the angels first. Why? Because they're there to serve us and prepare us. So if we came first, they wouldn't have been there to be preparing for everything that was coming. Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." That sounds a bit cryptic, but what it means is everything is formed from the spiritual realm. Yeah. Everything forms from spiritual material, because spiritual material contains potential energy for matter. So when God has thoughts, which is energy, the potential in those thoughts, when he observes them, becomes physical. So everything we see has been formed out of that unseen realm and is held together and connected to that realm still. And literally, actually, quantum physically, we vibrate in and out of that realm, cells at a time, atoms at a time, at Planck's constant, which is 1/20,000th of a billionth of a second. So a very small fraction of time, the smallest fraction of time that can exist, we go in and out of that realm. We just cannot remember it because we're not tuned in to remember it. But we can begin to see that we can step in and out. That's why it's so easy to step in and out, because our spirits are tuned to that. And actually our physical bodies are connected to that and are held together by that which comes out of the voice of God. Hebrews 1:7, of the angels he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire? So angels can appear as breezes, or you can perceive them as breezes. Sometimes when you think someone's brushing past you, it actually isn't. And sometimes, as in terms of ministers to God, a flame of fire. Now you may get to embrace a flame of fire later on when we engage some of the angels. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent out by God to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So they're also assigned to those who aren't yet Christians. They have their guardian angels as well, most of them working overtime to keep them safe until they can inherit salvation. But you hear stories of people falling and suddenly and there's no one there. You know, that stuff happens because God is invested in everybody and wants everyone to discover him. And he's doing everything he can to protect people and encourage people to do it. Psalm 91:11. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Now, I find that rather comforting. Yeah, we always used to joke that, yeah, when you kept the speed limit, it was fine, but when you went over it, the angels flew off the bonnet. Now, for us, that's the front of the car, the hood, I think you call it. So there are guardian angels, there are archangels, seraphim, cherubim, living creatures, seven spirits of God, dominions, virtues, powers, authorities, principalities, or rulers. They are all angelic beings. Now, we use angel as a sort of general term to cover all the created spiritual beings. You know, they're not all looking like what we anticipate angels to look like. Now, there are 10 angelic classes of spiritual beings: the Chaoth, Ophanim, Erelim, Kashmelim, Seraphim, Malachim, Elohim, Ben Elohim, Cherubim, and Ishim. Those Ishim ones are the big ones. You know, that's the one that's over Georgia. Prince Warring Angel, Georgia, one of those Ishim ones. But there are many other names associated with the angelic according to their task. So there are watcher angels, hunter angels, gathering angels, lots of them. You know, and there's a whole list. And they're associated sometimes with guarding, with scrolls, lions. You know, some of the lions aren't always the lion of the tribe of Judah. They're angelic beings that are lions. Some of those that walk around in our meetings at times, they are angelic beings. There are lots of assignments that they have. There are healing angels. Remember the healing angel that stirred the waters? You know, invite those to come into your meetings. Get a healing pool. And be sensitive to when they're stirring the waters and get people to go and stand where they are. You know, there's all these things you can just join in with and gather that. You know, there are provision angels that bring provision to us. You know, and I think those who are really seeking the whole fasting lifestyle and things, they find their testimonies of where the angels are coming and feeding them with spiritual food, which is sustaining their physical body. So good stuff when it comes to the angelic realm. Now, there are warring angels. You know, you had one angel that killed 187,000 people. You don't want to mess with that one, you know. But sometimes they appear like pillars. Sometimes, you know, we have sometimes fiery portals or whirlwinds in our meeting, which are angelic beings. You know, the order of the Chaoth, the creatures, they come in many, many shapes and sizes and forms. Sometimes they come as golden ladders. You know, I've seen them in lots of different things. So there are scriptures there which give you an insight into the different Hebrew words for the different orders of angels. You know, I'm not going to go through them specifically, but they are there. You know, and when you look at the Hebrew word that is translated something, the Ophanim, Kaof, Erelim, Keshmalim, they are the Hebrew words. You know, we get seraphim translated seraphim and cherubim, but actually there are those words there with those things. The Elohim judges, generally the name Elohim can also be applied to God, and generally is, but can be applied to the angel of the Lord, for instance. You know, and there are many things that when it's God's attributes that are mentioned, like the hand of the Lord or the voice of the Lord, actually it's angels that are actually doing that. You know, and most of what we've attributed to what we call the Holy Spirit, and we, you know, come Holy Spirit into our meeting, the Holy Spirit's in us. Yes. And of course, when we gather, there's a sense of us coming together in the presence of God. But actually, a lot of what we attribute to the Holy Spirit is actually the ministry of angels. Because God uses angels to minister. You know, when the original Toronto meetings were going on and they were having a lot of manifestations, the little children used to see the angels ministering to people. And they'd be saying, those funny people are putting like cotton wool buds on people's bodies and things like that. And they could see it. Because little children see angels really easily. It just hasn't been trained out of them yet. You know, and unfortunately, our education system trains out the ability to see in the realm. And we really need to encourage our children to see and keep seeing and not put them off and don't say things, oh, that's all in your head, or that's just a figment of your imagination. You know, encourage them to develop the creative side so they can continue seeing. You know, some of those imaginary friends aren't actually imaginary. They're angels who are walking with our children. They're their guardian angels. Now, wouldn't it be great if they really got to know them when they were little and they carried on knowing them right through their lives? So we need to encourage that. Now, so there are a lot of them. You know, basically Revelation 5:11 says about 100 million in each of those realms. So 110 times 100 million is quite a lot. But only a very small proportion in terms of the numbers that there are. Because there was one for each star. And think of, 400 billion galaxies with a load of billions of stars in each galaxy. A lot of angels. So there are this order and this canopy which is over the throne of God, and it's over that which is represented by the, let's say, the reflection of heaven on earth. So when Jesus or the Father is on the throne of our life and we have surrendered our life to the throne of God, then they actually come around us. But we just not learn to be sensitive to it. So the chaos, which are the creatures, you know, Metatron is the chief angel of that, and I've met him. He's given me the golden key, timekeeper of heaven. He's a good guy to know. And there are different angels for each of the things. You know, the Ophanim are the spheres, wheels within wheels, the power sources, the Erelim, the mighty ones, Kashmelim, the shining ones. Often in worship, sometimes when you close your eyes in worship, you get little glimpses of color. That's what those Kashmalim are. I see them as ribbons of color that are flowing with the worship and the sounds, and they flow around as ribbons, and they're beautiful. I mean, they are really beautiful. That was the ones that came across my screen and really messed me up once when I was speaking. but you have the burning ones. They're not so pleasant at times, although they do a really good job when we surrender to the fire of God's presence. They were the ones that were around the throne in Isaiah 6, where poor Isaiah came before the presence of God and was undone. Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, I am amongst the people of unclean lips. And what happened? The seraphim brought the coal from the altar and brought it and touched his mouth and purified him. And the seraphim purify. The refining fire angel, one of the four angels that come around with me is of one of this order of seraphim. And they are coming. And a lot of people are prophesying the baptism of fire that's beginning to start. And some of these angels are beginning to do. And that, you know, you can go. I wouldn't advise you to go unprepared, but you can go into that courtroom, into the throne room, where the, you know, the train of his robe fills the temple, and you can surrender to being undone and ask for the seraphim to touch you with the coal from the altar. It's one of the places you can go. It's a good exercise if you're up for it. But, you know, they're very much involved in purification and refining fire. You know, then you get the messengers, those that God sends with messengers. He sends messengers all over. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, now we've got the Holy Spirit, we don't need angels. Well, they have the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is filled with angels. So why would we think that angels aren't involved? They are. And God sends them because we're not actually thinking of our mindsets as such. We miss all that. You know, and we do attribute a lot, oh, well, that's just God or the Holy Spirit, when actually it's the messengers he sent. Now, then you have to be careful what you're listening to. Because we know some of the things like Mormonism and some of the things like Jehovah's Witness, they had angelic messengers that gave them another gospel. So I'm not saying just be silly and accept everything anyone says, but the reality is they do come with messages. And when we are asking God for a message, then we mustn't be fearful of being deceived. Because we ask God for something good, we're not going to get something bad. So we need to be more in faith for God to protect us and bless us than the enemy is to deceive us. Amen. You know, why would we give more credence to the enemy than we do to God? Amen. You know, so I'm not up for deception at all. I'm up for revelation. And sometimes God uses the angels to bring that revelation. You know, it's not that we're looking for it or, oh God, will you send an angel because I want that revelation for an angel to prove something. It's just his choice. He can use angels to bring things to us, or he can use any other form he wants to. But it's one of the things he does do. The Elohim are the judges. Ben Elohim, sons of God. Those were part of the first creation, and they were sent to prepare the earth. Those guys are the ones that are on our angels in heaven that are behind our throne on our mountain. They're there to help us. They caretake our thrones until we're ready to occupy them. Unfortunately, they've been really busy on most of those thrones because most of us have never got there. And in the past, there's hardly anyone who's ever got there. So they've been doing most of the work. Now, they've done a lot of the stuff in our lives, engineering things and situations and circumstances, bringing us into the purposes of God, working overtime, trying to get our lives on course. Now, when we go to our thrones, we can engage with them because they're very familiar with us. This is the best familiar spirit you're going to get. Because they're not there to defame us, they're there to encourage and support us in what we're called to do. Because they were assigned for us. They're our heaveniest assignments. And you got the cherubim, the covering ones, and you got the ishim, the warring ones. And they are warring ones, you know. So there's lots of these things that, you know, we'll learn to engage. You know, it's not that we're trying to engage them or looking for that engagement in such a way, but we need to be sensitive for the direction that our spirit leads us and the Holy Spirit leads us to assign them and get them assigned and see them as part of our, they serve us and they minister with us. You know, and there are people, you know, like William Branham who had a great healing ministry, an amazing healing ministry. He had the angel that was with him that helped him discern disease and sickness in people. Now, he got that by touching their hands and feeling vibration. You can't do that. Well, who said you can't do that? Just because other people do it in the wrong way doesn't mean you can't do it in the right way and get revelation from God. When we lay hands on people, are we expecting everything to go that way? Or are we expecting to pick up something in what we lay hands on? Well, if you never thought about actually picking it up, well, you probably won't. So when I lay hands on people, I'm not just not looking to in part, I'm actually looking to pick up something of the frequency or lack of. I mean, I was praying for someone earlier, and there was a lack of frequency in areas of the body. Now you pick that up because you become sensitive to those vibrations, because of course, you know, we're an amplifier of frequency, and we're if we learn to tune that frequency, our spirit will interpret it and give us revelation. We've just never been taught to do any of that. You know, and those are the things we'll be learning how to do. So, there we go. Now there are 283 references, direct references for angels. And surprisingly, 107 in the old and 176 in the new. Most people find that surprising, because they think, oh, angels are really an Old Testament thing. They're very much not. But there are over 1,000 references that include names and their tasks and various things in the word. The term angel really is derived from the Greek angelos, which means messenger, or the Hebrew equivalent malak, which also means messenger. Their basic task is to bring messages. But they have, those messages contain lots of other things sometimes. You know, another term, the Elohim, really means strong one and is the name of God. But I believe a lot of that is angelic. That, like the hand of the Lord. Well, the Lord hadn't got a hand. He's a spirit, in reality, in that way, when it comes to engaging with us. So what is the hand of the Lord? You know, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro throughout the earth. Often where an angel appears, the focus isn't on the angel. It's on the message that they're conveying, the will of God that they're sent to convey. So we don't get detailed descriptions, because the focus is not on them. You know, it's on the message, it's on God who sends it. And of course, they're very much in terms of worship of God. So you don't see that description. Most don't describe wings, really. You have, you know, the ones with the 6 wings, 2 covering the face and 2 things, 2 with a fly and that stuff. You know, there are some, but they're not always there. Some appear physically, some are in visions and dreams. You know, we actually see angels come to us in dreams. You had that in Peter on the rooftop when he went into his trance and he had a dream and an angel came with this sheet. You know, so there's a lot of that goes on. We do have human appearances, and that scripture I mentioned earlier about making sure we're hospitable. Some of the angelic manifestations are fire, light, and colors. You get, when we were having our revival meetings, we used to see the lights flashing around the room. Sometimes in the winter, we do a night shelter for people, for homeless people to come in. And you know, my wife did one, and she was telling me that she was awake, waiting, just keeping an eye on things during the night. And she just started to see, with her eyes open, these flashes of light which were operating around the room. Sometimes people are seeing feathers, you know, falling down and floating down. I mean, that would be fun. I mean, I know Ian Clayton says, oh, they obviously went through the door a bit roughly and knocked a feather off, you know. But power orbs. Power orbs are where angelic things come through the realm of the atmosphere, and those power orbs get them through without obstruction. I have pictures of those power orbs in our meetings. We were taking some pictures one day, and people said, oh, that's just things in the air. You know, it's just this, you know. So I went next day with no one in the room and took the same place, same lights and everything else. There were no power orbs in the same conditions. So, and they often are associated with worship, and they were over our band, and we saw them. And when you look into them, they have this sort of strange sort of face-like shape in there, you know. But sometimes fragrances. You know, we've had a lot of fragrances appear in our room. And some people can smell them, and some people can't, which is an indication that actually when you are smelling them, you're not smelling them with your natural senses. You're picking up a spiritual sense to be able to smell the angelic, because they leave a fragrance. And sometimes Jesus comes and has a fragrance with him. You know, sometimes they come with sounds. You know, we have angels that come and join in our singing and sometimes lead our singing when we worship, and I can hear it. Because often I record it and I play it back, and I'm not hearing the sounds that were being made by me, which are not often very angelic. But but they do love to worship and join in, and they sing. You know, we had, the other week, we had, everyone was away from the worship band on holiday doing things, and there was only one guy left, and he was great. He just led the worship and helped us, and the sound was fuller than when all the band were there. It was just a sense of the fullness, because the angels came. He said, "I got a mandate." I said, that's always a good thing to do when you're leading worship. Get a mandate from heaven for what God wants to do in the worship. And you can be confident that you're going to flow. So he got this mandate, and that mandate attached angels to it, and the angels came to help him out, and we had a really wonderful time in the presence of God. So winds, breezes, you know, lots of things. You know, and they definitely appear in dreams and visions. You just get lots of that. Now, I've got a whole list there of scriptural things, because when people say, "Wow, where is this in the Bible?" You know, you get that a lot. You will get that a lot as well. There's a whole list of those that appeared physically, those that appeared in dreams, who they appeared to, all the scriptures of where they appear, and I got two whole slides full of that. Some in a vision in Daniel, some in a dream to Joseph. Angel appears to that in the tomb of Jesus to Mary Magdalene and Mary, physically, so she saw them. So it's all good there. You can use that. Another set of terms are really what you describe, you know, God's heavenly entourage, the ones who are around his throne, the ones who are holy, 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 the ones who just love to be part of the things around the throne. And there's lots of that. You know, the sons of God, the holy ones, the heavenly host. Now, the heavenly host are really the army of God. They literally are the angel army. That's what it means. Now, they are really what we would call the celestial, heavenly being that's really more around the throne, but they're just a proportion of what there are in terms of the angelic. You know, there are angels that we read this afternoon that are in the courts. They come and assemble. They come and get involved in the purposes of God. You know, and God talks to them and invites their involvement. I think sometimes people think that it's all about God tells them to just do it. No, they are sentient beings. You know, they have a sense of humor too. You know, I mean, sometimes they tickle you when you get that laughter stuff. You know, they love that. They love to see us laugh. You know, I mean, you know, I don't often do that. I do it actually quite a lot, but no, not really when I'm trying to teach and stuff like that, which is why I always try and teach before worship, because I just get so filled up in the presence of God, I find it difficult. But we had it on one of the hangouts the other day. It's like, I think it was this Pacific group, and we were just laughing. It was just great. We just felt the joy, and it was just lovely and wonderful, you know. So there's a lot really about the angelic realm. Of course, you have the four living creatures, the four faces of God. You know, why do they have the four faces of God? They just spent a lot of time looking at God and have ended up like him. Seven spirits of God, again, created beings to tutor us and around the throne. Cherubim covering the ark. You know, of course, the chancellor's courts, they're called chancellors. There's 12 high chancellors. That's where I got to go to one of those courts this afternoon, which was cool. And scribes' court, so they've got a function for writing things, for recording things, for putting things into record. You know, those caretakers on our thrones. There are lots of them that are involved in the judicial processes. My personal belief is, and I feel God's been speaking to me about this, is that a lot of them are doing the job because we aren't. We've not yet matured enough to take in our part within the court system. Because if we're going to judge angels, then we'll be part of the judicial system. Now, a lot of people, I'm only going to do that after I get to heaven and live there. Well, who said that? You know, who said that at all? You know, that's the covenant with death. You only get this stuff after you die. And the reality is, no. As long as we die to self, we can get it now. So in the unseen realm, there's the cloud of witnesses. Now, again, they appear quite often, you know, I'm generally the one that sees them, but there are some others that see them. I'm aware of their presence because they seem to shimmer somewhat. I see little shimmers around the room, and then I look more closely, and then I look in and I see them more clearly. Because sometimes you catch angels or angelic things in the corner of your eye, and you sort of dismiss it. When you catch something like that or a glint in the corner of your eye, turn towards it and look. And just open your eyes and look into it. Because when I've done that, then I've looked in and I've actually seen more clearly what the cloud of witnesses are. Because they're like a cloud. You know, I used to think it was the crowd of witnesses, but it isn't. It's the cloud. They are a big crowd, but it's a cloud. When Jesus went up into the cloud, when he levitated and descended, he didn't go up into a natural fluffy thing that's up there in the sky. He went up into the cloud of witnesses who were waiting to welcome him. Because remember, he had led captivity captive and took them up from paradise into the realms of heaven. And they were welcoming his return. And guess what? When he comes back, they will be there. And we will go to join them and meet them in the air. You know, that's the only rapture I believe. One, when Jesus comes back to wind it all up. Because we get to join them, and that ushers in the thing to come. So we have that cloud of witnesses. Where are they? Surrounding us. So those who accuse people of necromancy, and I've heard that recently. Ooh, you can't have anything to do with those things. It's necromancy. What? It's like they're around us. Surrounding us. So why would they be surrounding us if they weren't supposed to have anything to do with us? And we weren't having anything to do with them? It's pretty obvious, really. But they're there for a reason. And they get involved in what we do. Because they see something that fulfills them. I mean, I love the thing in Hebrews 11 where it says, you know, all these guys died in faith, but not having seen the fulfillment of the promises. Well, they're longing to look into our day and see the fulfillment of the promises. So I know it's sort of described as, okay, we're on a relay race, and one have done the first lap, and one generation's done another lap. Well, they want to cheer on the last lap. They don't, when the first relay runners do it, they don't go and change and have a shower, do they? They sit and watch the rest of the race. They're invested them in the race, but they want to see the winner cross the line. So they cheer on, and they do cheer us on. They really do. I mean, I've heard them cheering in heaven when people start to get hold of their mandates and start to get hold of things. Because they're excited. They're a cloud of excitement around. So it's good. No, they're all the spirits of the believers that comprise the church in heaven. You know, it's called the Church of the Firstborn Enrolled in Heaven. And I think another term for that is the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Now, we have had 12 assigned to us in our ministry. I went to the Court of the Upright once, and there was these, they were all around, this big cloud of them, but there was 12 sat there specifically, and in front of them there were mantles and flaming torches. And I didn't recognize them with my natural eyes, all of them, I did some, but I knew they were, you know, and subsequently, we were having a gathering of our 12, and we were having it doing one of these sort of exercises, and we were having some fun. And I looked into the room, because I like to see what's going on when people are engaging in exercises. And one was standing behind each person. So I quickly jotted down who was who and said afterwards, okay, it would be really good if you went away and started to engage, because they're come to help you, you know, which is great. You know, and a number of them have walked that out, and they've had some really interesting revelation, which has been released by that, of help and encouragement and different things. And this is a great scripture when it comes to, for those who say you cannot engage with angels or the things of heaven. Hebrews 12:18. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched. Which meant, obviously, Mount Sinai, because they weren't allowed to touch it or they would have died. But you have come to Mount Zion, which is the mountain of God in heaven, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, and to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. So you can't touch this physical mountain. Hey, but you can come to all these. So if anyone says, where does it say? You can't. Here's a really good scripture. Because it actually defines that we can come to them and engage them. So now there's the picture of not anything that I've ever seen in an angelic realm. And neither is that either. Now that's more like it. There's the four living creatures around the throne, and I mean, that's more like it as well. You know, you get some of these warrior guys who come with fiery swords. You know, I've seen that a few times, and that one. That is what my angel looks like. It's a winged white horse. I'm not telling you his name, because you're not hijacking him from me. Because he is very helpful in times of ministry, because he often brings on his back jewels and chests and weapons and all sorts of things I give away people at times, because I'm very sensitive to his presence. That's what my other angel looks like, who's somewhat less white and fluffy. Because that's a breakthrough angel. You know, my other angel's a breakthrough angel who ministers breakthrough. I know when he is there to minister breakthrough because my right arm vibrates. And God told me that will be a sign. You know, so if you ever see my right arm vibrating... You got a choice. You can stay and hope, or you might need to run. But you have fiery horses who pull fiery chariots, you know. And you have the seraphim, and they come in fire. But you have... Oops. Ooh, I'm going to do this again. I must stop pulling this microphone.
One of those winds just came by. Yeah.
But sometimes you have these wonderful colors. And sometimes that's really like the Kashmirim, like they're just these beautiful sort of floating sort of ribbons of color. But sometimes you get these fiery whirlwinds, you know, the wheels within wheels, you know, bringing God's throne. You know, the fiery pillar. Yeah, I love that one. And we have that quite often appear in the middle of our room, and we invite people to step into it. You know, when I do exercises with the angelic, and it's a bit more room, you know, I invite different angels to come in different realms of the angels, and they stand at the front, and I invite people to come and put their hand into where they stand and look to feel the atmosphere. And some people, it's like they're hot. You know, you see people put their hand, that's hot. Yeah, and sometimes you feel it, because I want people to spiritually and physically engage with this realm and learn to sense their presence. We haven't got enough room. And then you have the fiery sword. That fiery sword that guarded the way to the tree of life was an angelic being. Yeah, we have angelic portals opening all the time. Yeah, and yeah, sometimes I see the Lord looking through those portals, yeah. And they're all surrounding, and they're just like, yeah, come on, let's come. You know. Yeah, I see that type of thing sometimes in the court of angels, with like just this sort of canopies of angels around. So there's lots of images, you know, that may be helpful. I'd encourage you to paint your own, and if you're artistic, draw them. You know, I know some of you are quite artistic and you've drawn some things. You know, if you see things, just begin to express that creatively. Anyway, so I want to finish with these four angels that are here to herald this new season, and they're here to guide us on the journey, and they they come with me wherever I go, you know, which is really great. I like it. So the first one's the angel of transformation, winds of change, sound of many waters, and refining fire. That's one of those seraphim ones. So we need to learn how to engage them and how to receive the revelation and the ministry that God has sent them for, because he's released them to us to help us in this season of transition. So we can engage with them and we can draw from them. Now again, people, well, why would God send angels? Why wouldn't he just come himself? Well, he's busy doing a lot of stuff. You know, it's like he's got a whole load of billion of people around to sort with. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that film, Evan Almighty. Or it's like Bruce Almighty, that was it, yeah. And it's like, some of it was just a bit out there, but when it was the bit of like all these prayers, and it was just like, he was like, I thought this job was easy. I mean, it was great when he was flipping around, flipping people's skirts up and do all that sort of stuff, but it wasn't so good when he was hearing everyone's prayers all at the same time, all over the world. You know, so God is quite busy. He does a lot of things. So he sends and delegates them on authority. Now, we can learn to delegate them to go and do things for us. So, I want to share just a prophetic word that really went with these four angels and that God was bringing to sort of show what these angels are doing. And it came with this scripture, which I like this scripture because it applied to us. God speaks of great shakings through the wind, severe rain, and storms in specific areas of the nations of the world, targeted by heaven for a massive movement of the Spirit. Yeah, we had really unseasonal weather. I believe you did last winter. And there are signs where God is going to move. We had massive floods in our region, like floods no one had ever seen before. Some villages were cut off for 3 months. They had to come in and out by boat. And it was severe. And then it was this. Watch in 2014, where earth shakes and where unusual weather breaks out, for there God is allowing a sign to show you where he is moving at this time in the most unusual and stormy ways. And actually, we had an earthquake right off our North Devon coast this year. Now, that is highly unusual. I've never felt one before, but one came. And I'm happy to take that as a sign of what God is going to be doing. Now, sometimes you get those signs. But anyway, this for these four angels, there was a memo that came from heaven delivered by an angel. And sometimes it comes as a memo, like a message. And the message on the memo, it said fire, wind, shaking, and transformation. Now, the fire. And this is what was conveyed as a prophetic word. The heart of fire and passion, every time I spoke or wrote the words of the memo, a revelatory meaning was etched by holy fire and burned into my heart. God revealed his motivation. He wants to share his first desire of his passionate love to all the people of the whole world, and he sent his son Jesus to transform. The Lord told me, fire of my desire is to see my people restored to my heart. So God is drawing us back to his heart. I think I was talking to Joe earlier. He had an encounter, you mind me telling it, that he went into the bosom of God. He went into the heart of God and felt something. You know, I've taken a few people recently into the heart of God in one of those higher realms. It's a beautiful place. The wind. The vision of the flowing letters in the word wind on the memo is forever etched in my heart. Each letter blew as if by a strong wind released from the Holy Spirit during the angel of transformation's visit. God highlighted to me as the ruach, or the breath of his spirit, wanting again to breathe his refreshing spirit, new life into the lost or the discouraged hearts. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now, it really wasn't dirt. You know, Adam was formed out of gold dust, because that was what was left on the earth from what came through the everlasting doors in the first creation. And when all the waters came, it settled on the ground. Thought you might like to know that. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful for Adam, he first opened his eyes, what did he see? The face of God. And what did he do? He didn't gasp for air, he breathed out. So what did it mean that he had a lack of God? Because he just breathed God out. So what did he do? Breathe back in. And the rhythm of our breath reminds us of in and out of the Spirit. So we always constantly need the flow of the Spirit, that it doesn't just stay in us, it goes out and we draw in. So the winds of his glory, the Lord emphasized to me that his breath of the Holy Spirit is more than enough wind of transformation to turn this nation back to his heart right now. Amen. Now the wind of God, when it blows, can turn a nation back in a day. Amen. We must experience and activate the Holy Spirit's breath of anointing to release God's holy breath of love to the many hurting people. That's why we have to keep breathing it out. You know, it's really selfish to breathe in and not breathe out. So, freely we've received, we give. That's right. You're getting it. As these people realize what has been missing in their lives, they will begin to be led by the Spirit of God and will be prepared to receive the transforming breath of God's Spirit. The Lord reminded me of the prophet Ezekiel's vision in the Valley of the Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37:5. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come back to life. And that's what God's doing to us. You know, he's breathing life back into those old dead bones. You know, we're getting life back into them. You know, what happens after the life comes back into them? When you get everything start to function again as living beings. So let's say part of the limping body of Christ has been breathing in the toxic breath of the enemy's lies for too long. I really like that. I don't like it, actually. I hate it. But actually, it's true. We need to do something about it. So we decree that these deceptive toxins will be purged and cleansed from the body of Christ in Jesus' name. We agree with that?
Yes.
We want those lies out. We want the truth in. And we want all that religious nonsense and rubbish that the religious spirits have propagated, keeping us from all these things and hindering us from embracing the fullness of who God is. We want those things out. Yeah. You know, that's why this wind is going to blow. That's why the fire is going to burn. And that stuff is going to be purged. Yeah. So today, filled with the powerful breath of the Spirit of the living God, we decree the transforming power of Christ's life and breath to the faint-hearted, the discouraged, and lost. And you're going to get to do this to people around you. You will become a source of the breath of life to them, because you will be so filled and containing the joy and blessing of all the stuff you're receiving, you're just going to breathe it out. And those people are going to be receiving that breath, and they're going to be drawn to it. Then there's the shaking, the sound of many waters. That's what happens when you go near a waterfall. You begin to vibrate with that amazing frequency. In a vision, the word shaking came clearly again to me, reminding me of these verses. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea also, and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He's going to fill the world with glory. He's going to fill our lives, the house, with glory. He's going to fill this house with glory. Glory's coming. Now, of course, that's also, it says in Hebrews, the same thing. You know, there is shaking coming. You know, let's go with that shaking, a whole lot of shaking going on. We can embrace that, and we can allow it to shake things loose from us. You know, because some things cling on sometimes. In that shaking that goes on, they get flown off. When I read this passage, the wind of the anointing started shaking and reverberating in my heart. I can literally feel the Father's heartbeat in concert with his desire to bring people back into relationship with himself. And I was talking to someone here about the beat of the Father's heart. It's not boom, boom, boom. It contains all our hearts. And so there's a symphony of sound beating within his heart, because he carries all of us in his heart. You know, and it's a wonderful thing just to think of all of us with the rhythm of his heart in together into this wonderful symphony of sound. I sound quite poetic. It will be the most powerful awakening move of God people have ever experienced. I want that. Rather than allowing a flood again like the one that destroyed all living creatures, this time God is going to use his word to shape the nations back to him. The vibrating power of his word coming in that sound of many waters, because that's what his voice sounds like. That's what the deep calling out to deep is all about, the sound of many waters. And he's going to start speaking it louder and louder and louder, and people are going to start hearing it more and more and more. And it's going to turn them back to him. God is fulfilling his heart's desire for his people to seek intimate fellowship with him. More people will come home to the Father by a massive acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yes. This shaking will not be stopped by carnally minded people or the enemy's deception. This shaking will shock our hearts back into the perfect rhythm of our Creator. See, it is going to take a shock to shock people out of their complacency and their religious comfort zones. And there are some shocks coming. Some of these shakings will bring shocks to the systems of the world. You know, because what does it say in Hebrews from that passage? I will shake all things. What is going to be left? Only the things which are of the kingdom. Everything else is going to be shaken. So let's get people's hearts shocked back into rhythm with the Creator. Isn't that wonderful? I really love that. The entire world has already experienced such unpleasant shaking. That shaking will soon become an earthquake of the Father's wind of the Spirit. It will shake the whole world to its knees for completely repentant hearts turned back to our Lord and God. So, okay, transformation. The Lord etched in my heart that which the desire of his was to restore that which was lost and to have his people become transformed into his image of pure gold, like pure gold. Now, and that's the process we're all in, process of transformation. You know, it's not to hurt us, it's just to transform us. Sometimes it does hurt a little bit on the way. But the more you surrender, the less hurt there is. And anything, what's hurt really is mostly our pride. We must focus on the desire of God's heart and leave our own humanistic thinking and carnal minds out of the equation. You know, we're not going to do it with wise and persuasive words. We're not going to do it with the things of men. I tell you, seeker-friendly services are not going to do it. Neither will anything else we come up with as a good system. None of those things are going to do it. It is going to be the power of God that's going to do it. Consuming glory. Romans 12:2, this is in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. How much of the church systems just copy what the world does? Now, I'm not saying we can't learn some good things, but we don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's what whole transformation is about. So we'll really know who we are and really embrace it. So this time, the awakening will cause a major worldwide global transformation, and many nations will begin to turn to the Lord in a single day. I believe it. I believe in what God's doing. We're going to see amazing things take place. The Father's word transformation highlighted the sparkling new heavenly gold that I'd seen in the memo from the transformation angel. This beyond earthly pure gold hue represents the totally changed hearts turned back to the Father that were purified and freed from any defects of this world. You know, so the enemy's got nothing in us. You know, God's got everything in us. You know, the more junk in our lives, the less room there is from God. I think John the Baptist said something like, I must decrease so he must increase, so he can increase. Which is why I have to get all the rubbish out so he can fill me. You know, that's what it's like. As I pondered the word transformation, the Father spoke gently to my heart that he has given us the ability not only to be free from all sin, but also to move into the continual purification growth process of being transformed into his image. One degree of glory to another. You know, so we need to expect to be more glorious tomorrow than we were today. And then the next day, and the next day. Because we have a precedent in the word. The says that that's going to happen. So let's go for it. Now, this might not be quite as nice. A smelting process that takes each of us into a new level of being transformed from glory to glory. Sometimes it gets a bit hot. Anyone felt the heat of the Spirit sometimes? God turns the heat up. You know, particularly when we're not doing anything on a low heat. And he needs to turn up the flame. You know, some of us need a furnace. But, hey, he'll do it. If you need a furnace, he'll turn it up to white hot. You just have to be willing to step in. And guess who's in there with you? Yeah. Just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, I know Ian recently shared that he thought that was Daniel who was in there with him. But maybe, who knows? But I'd rather have Jesus with me than Daniel, personally, but there we go. 2 Corinthians 3:18, we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit. So when we look in the mirror of the Word, we should see glory. We should see ourselves in glory. You know, and even if we're not there yet, we need to be in faith, look and see, hey, I'm going to see reflected the glory of the Lord. It's what I look like from his perspective, I'm going to look, not what I'm looking for my natural one. You know, and some of you ladies who get up early in the morning and look in the mirror, what are you going to see? The glory of God. The glory of God. And that's before you got your makeup on. Hey! I'm going to get in trouble here. So all of us, with removed veils. You see, the veil that the enemy would put on us stops us seeing us how God sees us. He stops us seeing that glory because he puts deception and lies and rubbish. So we look and we think, oh, it doesn't look too good. Well, actually, we're looking through that. We need that whole rubbish veil removed through the blood of Jesus. So we can see the reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we're continually being transformed, changed into his glorious image. And I believe we will be transfigured and we will shine with glory. Yeah. I literally believe that glory will shine from our personal bodies. We need a bit of DNA transformation, but hey, that's fine. We just keep taking communion, keep applying the body and blood of Jesus, and we will begin to be transfigured and metamorphosed into that. So the Lord wants the redeemed followers of Jesus to become mature in the refiner's fire, so that when we offer his love to those desperate for true love, they will see through our lives the image of our Abba Father as we become fully engaged in our assignments. You know, God, you know, we're Jesus with skin on to people. We should be.
Yeah.
People should just engage Jesus when they see us and meet us. Because we're here as his body on the earth. You know, he's not going to touch them with someone else's hand. He's going to touch them with your hand. You know, he's going to look into their eyes with your eyes. He's going to speak words of love with your mouth. Because he's here to work through us. This is a different kind of transformation. One like never before in history. I can still hear the piercing breath of God's voice penetrating my being with these words. As in the days of Esther, you, the bride of Christ, were changed to be transformed for such a time as this. You know, you're called for such a time as this. I think this is a chosen generation. Called. You know, let's make the most of it. Let's go for it. So it's transformation time. Hey! You know, the Lord sent the angel of transformation to awaken us from our sleep, to give us the message of activation for our lives, to genuinely change and transform us into the image of the heart of our Father for the entire world, to desire him. So as we go with this process, this journey of becoming more like Jesus, we can offer Jesus to those hurting people. You know, those that we need to demonstrate the Father's heart to, his righteousness. Because it all comes through what Jesus has already done. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to make it. We just have to become like him. And he's done everything already that we need to engage that. We just need to engage. We just need to step into it, which is pretty great. So we have this love letter that's come out of heaven from with these four angels involved. And basically, because Jesus has already paid the price for our transformation. It was a high price. It really was. You know, we're talking about the Son of God giving his life because he loves us. Now that really wants me, makes me want to give my life to him because I love him. So in this love letter, there is the wind of the anointing of the Father now blowing a fresh message of his heart, of the holy fire. The shaking of God's word is from his heart to our heart as we become transformed into his image and begin to be the true messengers of the ministry of reconciliation. Today is the transforming day of salvation. We get that every day. Fresh mercies every morning. Every morning is a new beginning. We leave left yesterday behind. We embrace today. And because we bring the past in our eternity into today, tomorrow can be different. You know, every day is a new day. It's like, if you think about it from the Hebrew perspective, a circle, what happens at the end of the day? Beginning of a new day. It's always the same. Every day you get the same opportunity, a fresh start. Which is really good, isn't it? Because we make some messes someday. But we get a new start every day and fresh mercy. Now that mercy runs out if you keep looking back into yesterday and carrying the regrets of yesterday rather than the restoration and the forgiveness and the reconciliation. Now, if you keep looking to tomorrow in what will be, what will happen, and with fear and doubt, you run out of mercy for the day. Because he only gives you, like he gave you the manna in the wilderness, he needs what you get today. So use it for today and don't waste it on yesterday or waste it on tomorrow. Use it because you'll have everything you need to do whatever God's calling you to do today. And that's a good promise. So these four angels are manifesting themselves here. They came on Saturday night when I opened the windows of heaven. And they've been here ever since. Waiting for tonight. So you can engage them. So, we have transformation, who's actually over there in that corner. We've got winds of change, who's over here in this corner. We have refining fire, who's back over there in that corner. Hey, you're gonna be good back there. And we have the sound of many waters over there in that corner. And they're here for us to engage the stuff I've just been sharing. You know? So let's engage them. You know, these angels are, as God has given them, they're here to minister to us. So if you want change in your life today, anyone wants some change? Then you can begin to engage. Yeah, you know, I know. What change do you want? I mean, this is where you've got to be specific. You know, don't go up to the angel and go, well, do you want to do anything? Engage them with your desire. Because they're here to respond to the desires of your heart. So what do you want to change? You know? So you can engage. You know, if that desire is born out of the will of God and the purpose of God, hey, nothing's impossible. You know? So, transformation. What are you going to do? Do you want to be transformed into the image of Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want your behavior changed?
Yes.
I hope so.
You're looking at me.
Yeah. There must be some sort of guilty conscience there. Do you want your thinking changed?
Yes.
Do you want to be transfigured to shine with glory?
Yes.
That's just one angel. Hey, what about the other three? Winds are changed. Do you want a new season in your life? Do you want a new season of blessing, joy, and peace? Do you want the authority and power to change and transform your circumstances? Do you want to become that living being?
Yes.
Do you want you want to become that spirit being?
Yes!
Okay, well, you know where to go. Now you got to remember where they are now. Remember where I said where they are? Yeah. That's really good. You were paying attention. Yeah. You can go to all of them in the spirit. Yeah. Okay, we have refining fire. Do you want greater passion for God in your life and your destiny? Do you want to see God? Because who sees God? The pure in heart. Do you want life to be purified and refined?
Yes.
Do you want all the chains restricting you just melted from you? Well, there's a good one to go to if you want any of that. The sound of many waters.
Yes.
Just vibrating over in that corner. Do you want everything that's not of God's kingdom shaken out of your life?
Yes.
Do you want to resonate with the will of God?
Yes.
Do you want your body aligned to the frequency of heaven?
Yes.
Do you want health and wholeness?
Yeah.
Do you want your DNA transformed?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. We have the angels heralding that stuff in the corners. So we can engage in that. Okay. So okay, what I encourage you to do, I'm just gonna skip a few things here because we'll go back to this in a minute. I want to do this first. Okay. So I want you to just close your eyes. Yeah, and just open the eyes of your spirit, and just let your spirit begin to release that wave into this room that comes from within. Now, as you release that into the room, just direct it to the corner of the room that the angel you want to engage with first is at. And just let your spirit go out and engage with them. Now, as you engage, you may see that, you may feel impressions of it, you just may get the thoughts of the filling your mind. You just may have those feelings as you engage. But just by faith, just engage one of those four angels now. Let your spirit just connect and take with you the desires of your heart for each of those angels. Just engage them. For those of you who are just moving towards the angel of transformation here on my right side, just open up your heart. The revelation of the truth that will renew your minds and change your life. If you want to engage with winds of change, it's here on the left. Just open up your heart and breathe in that breath of life, that new season. Just breathe it in and just feel how you're filled as it fills you. If you want to engage with refiner's fire over there in my right hand side corner, run. Just open up your heart to receive that passion. Receive the coal, the burning fire from that seraphim angel. If there's anything you need purifying and refining from, just consciously surrender that. If you're conscious of any chains that are around you, just let the fire of his presence there just burn those chains, totally setting you free. You're feeling you want to engage with the sound of many waters, just open your heart to that vibrating frequency of God's voice. Just begin to resonate with the eternal destiny that is in you, that he's connecting with. Just let him begin to vibrate and begin to shake loose everything that's not of his kingdom. So just begin to engage by faith with that. You know, all those angels as I'm watching right now, they are just blowing their trumpets. They're heralding the new season for your lives. The sound of that trumpet is just resonating and coming over all of you in this room right now. desiring to bring you into a new alignment with heaven, a new alignment with your eternal destiny. The frequency of that sound, the heat of that fire, the blowing of that wind, let it touch every atom. Let it go deep, even to the very DNA of your body, within the very cells and the nucleuses of your cells, to just transform you, to change you. you have fire just flowing out of that corner, being fanned by the wind. You have colors and frequencies and sound just vibrating around and around and around the room. Now, these angels aren't going to go when I go, because they will stay. They're dimensional. They can be here and there and everywhere. And they're associated with those who are embracing this new season and embracing these new ways. So you can invite them and welcome them every time you meet. So this is not just a one-off engagement with these. You can engage them every time you get together. Okay. Now, let's leave that one a minute. Now, again, as I said, don't take that as a one-off. Just engage. You know, they're here to help transition. You know, and we're all transitioning.
Receive them.
So receive them, welcome them, embrace them, you know, and just work with them and let them work with you. Now, I promised I was going to share something I saw this afternoon. We got time for another little exercise, I guess. When we went to Wisdom, Wisdom took me off to one of the large chancellor's houses. This big door opened, and I went in, and I saw one of each of your guardian angels coming into this room and picking up a new mantle.
Wow.
And they want to put that on you tonight. Okay. So, you know, I don't know how many of you have engaged with your own angels, know their names, but they're with you, they're behind you right now. They usually stand behind, because then they don't want to get in the way. No, seriously, they don't want to be noticed. They're not there for their own gratification. They're there to serve you. So, again, I just want to encourage you to close your eyes. Just relax and just begin to fix your thoughts on that unseen realm that's around you. Just allow your spirit to flow through your gateways of your life and just engage around you, that atmosphere around you. Just open the eyes of your heart and just begin to sense the two guardian angels that are behind you right now. You don't have to look at them with your natural eyes and turn, but your spirit is turned towards them. And let your spirit describe them to you. What they look like. Sense the fragrances they may carry. The colors that they have on the sashes and belts that they carry around their girdles. You know, I can see some pretty warring angels around some of you right now. I can also see some beautiful, flowing robed angels. But just you begin to just sense and just look for your spirit to just engage for a few minutes. If you sense them, then just ask them their names and just wait for the thoughts to come that reveal their names to you. Thank you. Now, one of your guardian angels now is just going to take that mantle that is picked up from one of the houses of heaven, and he's going to place that over your shoulders to sense the authority released to you, the power endued to you. You may sense the color, you may see the color, the frequency that it contains, the revelation that's for you. Just receive that right now. Even if you're not seeing it, just receive it by faith. You have a new mantle of authority on your life. A mantle for change. A mantle for transformation. A mantle to carry the voice of God and to speak from the heart of God. When you speak, your words carry the authority of God as he just endues you with power and authority. A new mantle for a new season, for this fresh revelation and purposes of God, for you to embrace it, to experience it, and freely that you receive it, freely give. Some of you are feeling this, but I can see some of you have got mantles that have got lightning bolts on them. They're like electricity. Some of you have got mantles that are dripping with oil. The fragrant oil from heaven, the oil of joy and gladness. It's just dripping from you. Some of you have got mantles with the seven colors of the rainbow. You've been endued with wisdom. Manifold wisdom of God. Done. Again, when you receive something like that, you may have a really powerful encounter that you may really get something, but see it as a first fruits, that the more you engage, the more you meditate on it, the more you'll receive. Amen? Okay. Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.